We're continuing our sermon series in the book of James, and our reading for today comes from James, beginning near the end of chapter 3 and moving into chapter 4. And James begins to discern a bit this wisdom and understanding, wise and understanding among folks, and kind of talks about the wisdom born from above and this wisdom of from earth. And so this is sort of a difference he draws out. So this is a reading from James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, where he writes this. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind." Can someone say amen? "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and could not obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There was an interview I read a while ago where a music journalist sat down with renowned composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein. And during the interview, he asked, "What's the most difficult instrument to play?" And without hesitation, Bernstein answered, "Second fiddle." I've been thinking about this a lot as I've been diving into this story from Mark's gospel. It's the beginning of a turning point in the gospel story where Jesus begins to orient himself toward the cross. And he begins to tell his disciples of his coming betrayal and death and resurrection, but they are just not in a place where you can hear it. They're not in a place where they can hear it and absorb it in any way. I love how Mark just tells it straight. They didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. I wonder how many times we're like the disciples, where we hear hard news, or we hear things that go against the grain of our lives. We hear things that go against everything we know and we believe, and we're just not able to hear it. And we don't want to ask to go any deeper. I think Jesus sees that this telling of what is to come has not landed on his disciples at all. And when they get to where they're going, he asks them what they were arguing about on the way. He feels some kind of discord, feels some kind of dissonance, some friction among them, but waits until they're able to sit down and have a conversation to really dig into it. But they're silent at first. You get the sense that they might be a little sheepish. They feel like they might be busted for what they were talking about, right? They were arguing with one another over who was the greatest. In some ways, if I'm honest, I'm a little heartened by the disciples' cluelessness. It's a little encouraging. It makes me feel a little better about my own shortcomings. Maybe it does for you as well. That if people who are walking with Jesus day in and day out can still miss the mark so badly, maybe we're closer than we may feel sometimes. Right? The most difficult instrument to play is always the second fiddle. And yet the wisdom of music is that without a second fiddle, there isn't a hope in the world for harmony. Our reading from James today dives into cultivating this sort of wisdom and understanding in our lives. A wisdom that doesn't seek to be the greatest or seek to be the best, but understands this wisdom that comes from a deeper place. James writes, those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Don't they come from the cravings at war within you? That word cravings is so visceral sometimes when we hear it. The cravings at war within you. The disciples know something about these cravings. The cravings to be best, to be first chair, to be top of the heap. But he says when we give in to these cravings, it's so easy to fall into traps of bitterness or envy and selfishness, which is not what God desires for us. And it can actively keep us from living out the gospel. James has a soft spot in his heart for dichotomies, for putting two opposing views or viewpoints up for us to look at, to examine further, pointing out some differences between them for us to see. And today, he talks about two different kinds of wisdom. What we're calling wisdom from above or wisdom from below. This wisdom of God's kingdom versus the wisdom that's often driven by the kind of selfishness or bitterness that can only lead to further sin and death. So we see these up here. When James talks about wisdom from above, it's things like gentleness or peaceable, willing to yield, full of mercy. These are the ways that we can discern what kind of wisdom is guiding our actions or intentions in relationship and community. Are we guided by a sense of gentleness, peaceability, a willingness to yield, a willingness to create harmony by picking up the second fiddle and acting from a place of mercy? But then Jesus also names and helps us discern when perhaps we're acting out of earthly ambition for more or to try to prove something. When, like the disciples, we're feeling kind of feisty, quarrelsome, with our want to be the greatest, our want to be a leg up on our neighbor, desire to be recognized or maybe boast a little bit about our accomplishments, maybe inflate or sensationalize a story to inflate our ego a bit. There are times when these wisdoms compete within our hearts, right? These cravings that are at war within us. I love what Pastor Aaron lifted up last week when she talked about the phrase, hurt people, and heal people." I think about that a lot when I look at these competing wisdoms. Often the impulse toward envy or selfishness or boasting comes when we've been hurt, when we feel wounded by something, we feel like we don't measure up. When we feel like we have to prove ourselves worthy. But in doing so, we only keep that hurt in circulation. Right? When we have been hurt and our response is to hurt others, it only continues to keep that hurt moving. And then the whole wicked cycle starts over in our hearts. Right? We boast about something that provokes envy in another, and then they boast and pass it on, and round we go. And so I think one of the ways that James sees this happening in community, and one of the things that he invites us to do is to find ways that we can take this hurt out of circulation to begin the process of healing. One of the ways that James invites us to do that is through spiritual practices, through practices like prayer and worship, reading scripture, singing hymns or songs of praise, joining together to receive the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus. Instead of keeping that hurt in circulation, passing on these wounds of envy and boastfulness, instead of passing it on to our neighbor, we bring it to the foot of the cross. We bring our hurts to God. This is James' prescription for us, right? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When we refuse to pass on that hurt, that's resisting the devil, right? Resisting that urge, that temptation to say, because someone hurt me, that means I'm going to hurt someone else. But when we refuse to pass that on, when we bring it instead to the foot of the cross, we are resisting those temptations of the devil and we are drawing near to God. When we feel those impulses toward envy or selfishness rising within us, we can notice it. Stop and take 5 seconds, 10 seconds. God, I can feel this in my heart and I don't like it. So we give it to you. Right? This is one of the psalmist's prayers. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's a simple prayer like that, and it's in a prayer like this, a simple prayer, that we can resist the temptations of the devil toward this circulation of envy and contempt toward our neighbor. We can resist the urge to hurt others as we have been hurt. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And in stopping for a beat to pray that God would take away that impulse to hurt in our hearts, we draw near to God and God draws near to us. This is the promise of being in relationship with God. And so I wonder what our relationships would look like, our relationship with God, our relationship with our neighbors. What our relationships look like if we refuse to pass on our wounds to others and instead brought them to the foot of the cross? What would our families look like? What would our communities look like? What would our politics look like if we refused to pass on our woundedness to others, but instead sought healing so that we could be present with God and with one another in all peace and gentleness, in all the fullness of God's mercy? This is what God calls us toward. This is what God calls us toward together, for the sake of us, for the sake of our community, for the sake of all of God's creation. And for that, we can indeed say thanks be to God. Amen.